More of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. We're often told that if we don't like something, change it. And that's exactly what Julia Burns and Amber Regan are doing. The pair of Wauwatosa mothers serve as two of the co-founders for Pathways High School. It's the only new charter school that will open in Milwaukee this coming fall.
Burns and Regan say their school will focus on project-based learning and teaching kids how to think, a focus they say traditional education lacks nowadays. But the twist in the story is neither woman has experience as an educator.
Lake Effect's Rachel Morello sat down with the duo to get a sense for how they'll go about what they hope to accomplish in year one. First, we'll hear from Amber Regan, who describes the genesis of their idea.
Julia and I have been involved with Destination Imagination for a long time. It's a team-based competition. I call it competitive creativity. And we really saw, after so many years of coaching our own children as well as teams, that any student could learn in a project-based environment. And the project-based learning really pushed some kids in really fun and exciting ways. So we were trying very hard to get it brought into our public schools. We both believe very strongly in public education. Julia had a friend that had Ted Dindersmith have a day open. And so he came and spoke in Tosa to a bunch of Destination Imagination parents. And at the end of it, you kind of left with this feeling of, now what? What do we do next? And shortly after that, we saw the first ad that we saw for the XQ Super School project. So it was very much this kind of natural layup of, well, there you go, there's your next.
Before we continue, can you kind of explain XQ Super School? Because people might not know what that is.
Sure. XQ Super School was a challenge to the public to reimagine public high school, and it was developed by Emerson Collective. That's the philanthropy that is run by Lorene Powell Jobs, Steve Jobs' widow. And she put out a call to the nation to reimagine public high school in September of 2015. And the initial concepts for a reimagined high school were due November 15th of 2015. And that was the first foray that we made into that challenge.
Tell me what that process was like then. What happened after that, and where did you go from there?
Well, it was a very intensive and comprehensive process, giving us the framework and the deadlines to create our charter application for UW-Milwaukee. It was a multi-step process whereby we needed to research extensively innovative models in education, talk with experts, talk to business and community leaders, capture student voice. We conducted 4 group student interviews that were student-led to really understand what they felt would be vital for their dream high school, what things we should not replicate, what we should avoid. And it was a very enlightening process, very rewarding to hear a lot of the ideas that we had came back to us from the students to say, yes, we were on the right track with the concept we put forth, which was a personalized project-based learning high school.
And you were mentioning your charter with UWM. A lot of people have probably heard the term charter school, but might not be familiar with what that actually means and how those schools come to be. So can you guys explain a little bit about what that process is like and what it means to have a charter from UWM?
The most important thing is that we are a public high school. We are a regional public high school because of our charter through UWM. So a regional high school means we are pulling students by intention from the city of Milwaukee as well as the counties. For us, we are a diverse by design high school, and the UWM chartering process allowed us to become a public high school serving the entire region.
Your school is located in the city, right? Can you explain where you're located and a little bit about the zip codes that you're pulling from?
So our temporary location is on 4th and Walnut.
So you're right off of King Drive.
Yes, right off of King Drive. Our students currently are coming from as far away as Sussex, Cedarburg, obviously Wauwatosa. I will have 2 students there, as well as the downtown zip codes. We have about 20 students from the highest poverty zip codes in the city. We also wanted to be located downtown because our design is project-based and personalized, but we really want a strong connection to industry. So our projects will be connected to industry to become very relevant to the student, but also the community of Milwaukee.
So we're throwing around all these education terms, project-based learning, charters, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that neither of you has a traditional education background. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Correct.
Okay, so but your parents, so you understand kids. We heard about how you got the idea for this, but like what sorts of supports are you getting? Because I'm assuming some of this stuff is not familiar to you guys because of the lack of that background. So who's supporting you in this and helping you start the school, helping you learn some of these terms or some of the organizational things that you might not have thought of when you first thought about starting Pathways?
We used our lack of knowledge specific to education to our advantage, we feel. We really didn't take anything for granted. I think there's a tremendous amount of inertia built into the education model that we have. It's been around for 130 plus years. And if you've grown up in that model and you've been educated at many of the teaching colleges, there is a tendency to take things for granted and perhaps have blinders on regarding innovative models. And so we really took the opportunity to learn from experts and best practices across the country. We studied innovative models within Wisconsin, across the U.S., and outside our country. Talked to numerous people, you know, some amazing schools we visited, High Tech High in San Diego, the Denver STEM School and Academy. So we tried to take the best that we could find from these innovative models. And we always saw a common thread in these models, and that was rigorous learning through relevant work, and in many cases, responsive to industry as well. So Iowa Big is one of the school models that we studied. They're in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and they don't take on projects for students unless they have a business sponsor. And so the level of engagement of students is so high because they're doing real work for real clients, and they're developing skills that will make them much more marketable when they go to seek careers in the marketplace. And so we really have seen this strong tie and belief that education is economic development, and we can't be divorcing the two. And I think traditionally we have done that.
And the deficit really is in a system that the children are telling us isn't working for them. Industry is telling us isn't working for them. You know, so we like to, because of the way we're wired, to go find the experts to support our ideas, to become lifelong learners and to model what we want the students to do, building relationships with new people, understanding where their problems are, and sharing, maybe oversharing, where and how we came to this model.
There is such a contentious relationship, especially in Milwaukee, with all of these different sectors of education, and I think you're the only new charter school actually opening this year.
That's correct.
But there are so many, and there are so many options for people. And it feels like because of the contentious relationship, people kind of all have to volley for their school or duke it out to, like, get kids. And do you feel like you have to do that at all?
Well, I would say one of the things that we're trying to do is we've recognized what you're describing. And we've, you know, the kind of the analogy we use is people are fighting over pieces of a pie rather than figuring out how to grow the pie. And we feel strongly that, especially based on the research and the schools we visited, that there is so much opportunity here for us to grow the pie that our energy is really focused towards that, because anything that is not about sharing what we've learned and about trying to improve education for all of the students in the region, really we're talking about the M7 region, that is not a good use of time.
And we spoke with several suburban superintendents of schools, and they were all very excited to be able to come into our school and show their school boards, this is what it can look like. And we say all the time, you know, please tell us what we're doing wrong, and we'll show you what is actually working for us, as well as the ugly parts, you know, because that's how we all learn.
So you guys, your first day of school is at the end of August, right?
Correct. August 28th. Yep.
Okay. And you mentioned, Amber, that you guys are in a temporary building for the next 2 years. So what do you have left to do before school starts?
We definitely have a punch list at this point. We're still accepting students if they want to enroll. We're really trying to get that balance of diversity. We'll have an open house on July 29th. It's a Saturday. The location should be finished then, so it'll be a really pretty fancy thing to walk through and get to see what it looks like. It's really coming together nicely.
I can vouch for that. I was there and I saw it the other day. It looks beautiful.
So that'll be done by then. And then, you know, the project selection's been done. We're just really planning very carefully this first year of projects. You know, we've got our student handbooks done. We've got our grading policies done. Our website is in transition, but it'll be prettier by the end of the month, I think.
And what about staff? How is staffing looking right now?
we're pretty set.
Yeah, all of our core staff, we have our principal hired and then our core teachers, a humanities teacher that teaches English language arts and social studies or history, paired with a science teacher. In our first year, we're starting with physics.
And then on top of that, we have a teacher that is dedicated to IT. So she supports both of those teachers in every project to make sure we're really getting a rich IT experience for the students, coding, website design, gaming, but also the, you know, even for the physics down to the how you work the measurements and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. And then also as a supporting teacher, too, like the IT teacher is our makerspace and blended learning teacher. And he is very much infusing the aesthetic elements, the art and the making into all of the projects as well.
Yeah, we should mention that. It's got to be close to half of the space that you have is dedicated to makerspace. Does that sound about right?
That's about right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now, and I know you mentioned it too, but you both have a student or a couple students starting at the school in the fall. So taking off your school leader hats and putting your parent hats back on, what do you hope that your students get out of Pathways?
Well, I have two students coming, and for each of them, I'd want similar but different things. My older child will be a junior. I've seen him just thrive in project-based learning environments. And when I talk to him about the traditional school environment, he is a completely different person. So really getting him back into that place where he's driving the education and it's not a chore and it's not painful, that's a big piece. For my daughter, who will be a freshman, she's developing that confidence. We've been doing projects and what we're calling spring training all spring and into the summer. She's choosing herself in these projects. She's saying, this is what I want to do. And so it's a way to supplement my parenting by giving her experiences where she gets to push herself.
I have a son who will be a freshman, and I think watching his transformation over the past 2 years and development of Pathways High, as well as him watching our transformation, has been incredibly developmental for both of us. He's a mature 14-year-old and really is enthusiastic and excited about being able to drive his own learning. And I think that was the frustration that he felt in his middle school years, is that there was a lot of jumping through hoops, because that's what has been expected, you know, historically, is we have boxes to check off and hoops to jump through. And he really saw a lot of busy work and couldn't really understand the relevance and how to tie those, you know, check marks to something that he would like to do long term.
I love hearing parents talk about their kids. It's like some of the best, some of the best stuff. And I know I'm kind of overemphasizing the fact that you are the school leaders and also parents, but that is pretty unique, I think. So I wonder, as you've been recruiting families, students and their parents to come to Pathways or to apply to Pathways, do you feel that's been an advantage, being able to talk to parents on their level, but also have that knowledge that you've gained from doing all of these visits and talking to all of these people? And do you feel like that's been something that's helped as you've had these conversations?
Absolutely. I think what has been the most rewarding part of this process is talking to parents, because they have, like us, felt a need, right, for their own child specifically, but they recognize that the one-size-fits-all model of the traditional school doesn't work for a lot of kids. There have been many tears shed. There have been many goosebump moments, I would say, in talking with parents, because they are incredibly grateful. They're incredibly inspired and excited and brimming with emotion when they talk to us about what they feel Pathways High will be able to do for their students, their kids. It is very, I think, powerful, the fact that our children are going there, but also that we have this ability to relate to a need that they have and they've seen as well.
Julia Burns and Amber Regan of Wauwatosa are co-founders of Pathways High School. They spoke with Lake Effect's Rachel Morello. You can read more about it at wuwm.com.